the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. A suspected drug overdose at one of London's supervised drug use sites, CarePoint Consumption and Treatment Service, has prompted a review of its policies and procedures. Today, I'm talking with London Free Press reporter Jennifer Beeman about this death and the investigation surrounding it. Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we're glad to have you back, for sure. So let's just talk about the death that happened last week. What happened? What happened at CarePoint that day?
So there was a CarePoint user. And for people that don't know, CarePoint is the name for our supervised drug injection or drug use site here in London. It's on York Street. It just moved in there, opened there, like I think about last year. Anyways, so there was a person who came in, a client of theirs, who started showing signs of suspected overdose and kind of went into medical distress. So staff at the site kind of rallied around, tried to intervene in any way they can. They know first aid, they've got naloxone and many other things. The ED had said they really worked very hard to kind of stabilize this individual. Mm-hmm. Paramedics were called. The person was taken to hospital where they were pronounced deceased.
So, I mean, they're saying a suspected drug overdose only because we haven't had the confirmation on that for sure. But the employees there are absolutely trained for this kind of thing. They know it can happen. And it sounds like, for you know, in terms of the investigation, they did everything right.
And that's what the executive director is saying. And this drug site exists for this very specific reason, which is to prevent overdoses. It opened up years ago, 2018 in February, at a little location on King Street, just because, you know, people were sort of dying using drugs alone. And fentanyl was the big culprit at the time of just, you know, they wanted a place where they could, you know, consume drugs, use drugs with supervision so that if there is an overdose event, people can intervene. So mm-hmm. That's really the whole purpose of this site. And so to have a death like this was pretty shocking for CarePoint and its staff.
Is this the first death that has happened at CarePoint?
It is. And they've okay. seen many, many people over the years too. Just in the last kind of budget year for them, it was about 18,000 visits and just under 200 overdoses reversed. So using things like naloxone or CPR or supplemental oxygen, like all kinds of things they can do to kind of wrap around and prevent the worst outcome.
Okay. For those who don't know, you know, what a drug consumption site is, are they handing out drugs at this place? And how does it differ from, you know, a methadone clinic? Because we have one of those as well. So how is this different and what actually happens for those who don't know?
So drug sites such as CarePoint are places where people who use drugs can bring their drugs and do, you know, use those drugs with supervision. So they're bringing drugs into the facility. They're not handing out drugs there. CarePoint also operates the city's needle exchange program. So people can get clean needles, clean supplies, clean pipes, that types of thing there as well. Mm-hmm. A methadone clinic is, you know, really for anyone that's on sort of a methadone program. Those things can be kind of longer term medical kind of treatment type situations for people who are using drugs. And those exist around the city, but very different type of service there.
Mm-hmm. So CarePoint's not handing out drugs, if you were under that impression, but they do screen some of the drugs that come in sometimes, right?
They can. So they have, you know, several devices on site where they can, you know, if someone's worried about their supply that they're bringing in, they've, you know, got it on the street, they don't know what's in it exactly, they are able mm-hmm. to test it on site. So there are, I think there's a little cube that they can put some of the drug samples in and other little methods that they can kind of test what's in this drug. It's not exactly foolproof, and it's certainly not with every client that comes in, but there is that capacity in that place to do that. They mm-hmm. also have access to laboratory testing too. So if the staff at CarePoint are noticing some really distinct adverse reaction among many of their clients, they can send a sample of the drugs to the lab to really figure out what's in it. Is it opioids? Is it opioids and barbiturates? Is it something completely different?
And can they send warnings? Do they give warnings to the community that come in there to say, hey, watch out for this kind of thing?
They absolutely do. And oftentimes we at the Free Press will write about it as well, because they're, you know, it's sort of an example of our frontline outreach, street level, you know, kind of workers out there saying, hey, this is something we're noticing. This is a problem in the community. We want people to know about it. And so it's happened in the past. Certainly we've had situations where the health unit and CarePoint or the two of them together have said, hey, this is out there. We want people to know, be on the lookout for it.
In this particular death that happened, do we know anything about the victim? Do we know what kind of drugs they might have been taking? Anything like that? Have we learned anything about them?
We have not been able to figure out who the person that passed away is. CarePoint's been very, very careful to guard the privacy of this individual. So even simple things like what interventions did you use? Were these drugs tested? They were a little bit reluctant to sort of share that. Although, I would imagine that as the investigation goes on, it's possible that they might release details about what this person was using at the time. You know, a lot of the users that go to CarePoint are using opioids or street sort of type opioids, not, prescription opioids. And others, are using crystal meth and those kinds of things. Those seem to be kind of the two larger drug groups there. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't want to speculate on what it was. It's just certainly those are kind of two main things that they see there.
Sure. And at first, CarePoint didn't comment because we've had a few stories about this so far. They didn't comment at first, but then they decided to. What prompted that change?
I think they just want people to know the work they're doing. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about what supervised drug use sites do, what they are, what they aren't, what they are doing, and the kind of work they do. When it opened, I was able to go and see the site. And when they opened last year, I think it was last year, they put so much work into that building, and I think they just want the community to kind of know what they do, what they're doing, and they want to be accountable too. This is the first death they've had there. Such deaths at these sites are very rare. And so I think they just want to really dispel any myths or other things by just being really transparent and upfront about, what their process was, what happened, and how they're moving forward.
How common are deaths at consumption sites across Ontario? Like, does this happen very often?
It is rare. The data that we were able to find some of our stories from Statistics Canada really shows that there aren't a lot of deaths at these sites. That's not to say there aren't hospitalizations, like people can be taken from a drug site to a hospital.
So there could be overdoses, but not deaths. They're not common anyway.
No, for sure.
Okay. Now, if somebody is at the site and using drugs and they might overdose and leave the site, perhaps hypothetically they die elsewhere in a different spot. We don't track that, do we?
So opioid deaths are tracked really carefully in Ontario. Actually, Public Health Ontario has a whole dashboard where you can see in a region, even by health unit, number of emergency department visits, number of hospitalizations, number of deaths related to opioids. It's a very, very good tool for this kind of thing. I know in the London region, you can go month by month of the number of, confirmed and suspected opioid deaths. So that specific metric in the city is tracked really, really closely and province-wide. And it's interesting to see over the years just how much it's gone up in this region.
So what are the numbers for this region? Are they common in this Southwestern Ontario or London Middlesex area?
We are certainly in line with the broader trend, which is an increasing number.
Sure.
I don't remember the numbers exactly for our region, but we have some preliminary data for the first few months of this year, and then pretty much all of last year's data about, just number of deaths per month. And sometimes it's quite high, 11 or more a month. Some months it's lower, but certainly the overall trend from, I guess 2018 on has just been increasing. And lately it's been kind of plateaued a little bit, but certainly the line is up.
Are you able to talk about the typical clients at consumption sites? I mean, I think if those of us who aren't visiting them, we might have a preconceived notion of who is exactly going to these sites. I know you've been covering this for a long time. Are there any myths that maybe we should dispel about who is using these sites?
Certainly with the needle exchange program, it is really open to anyone. So there are people that I remember speaking to CarePoint years ago, and they were saying, in our needle exchange, it's not always the people you might expect. There's others that can come in. With the drug site, there are a lot of people that we would imagine would use it, people that are unhoused, sort of street level drug users, like those types of clients. But it's really meant to be a community resource. So it is open to anyone who uses drugs, who needs clean needles, who needs, various connections and supports with regard to addiction. Because that's the other thing CarePoint does as well, is it's not just a drug site. It really, really works to sort of provide primary care to people who need it. It works to connect them with housing or other sort of social supports. If you need a health card, they can help you get it. You know, there's many, many things that the staff there do to really try to improve the lives of the people that come in.
Sure. The Doug Ford government plans to close 10 consumption sites across the province. CarePoint is not one of them. But what are the criticisms about these consumption sites, and why is CarePoint spared from these pending closures?
The political side of this. So like I said, February 2018 was when this thing opened. That was in the final sort of months of the Wynn Liberal government. And then we had Doug Ford come in that June. So, you know, there's been a lot of skepticism from this government about those sites. They have opened many, but not without political pushback. I mean, even in London, ours was sort of delayed for a variety of reasons. The pandemic, there was some kind of political sort of talks that were happening. So it took quite a while to get that permanent location open. The Ford government wants to see treatment more than it wants to see sort of managing or permitting drug use. So that's where we have heart hubs. That's the province's plan to kind of really make a treatment focused initiative to really reach these clients. So in London, we're going to be applying for one. The CMHA Addiction Services Thames Valley has already put in its application, or is just about to. I think it's right now is the time.
Okay.
And so we'll have to see what's next on it. Certainly these will be different than what we're seeing at CarePoint, but definitely, you know, something that will probably help Londoners greatly that are dealing with this type of addiction issue.
Sure. So the heart hubs are homeless addiction and recovery treatment programs. So this government would like to move more towards recovery. But in terms of consumption sites, there's still going to be some out there, and CarePoint will be one of them. Was there a reason CarePoint was spared in the closures for that? Do we know?
Yes. So the province moved to kind of close some of these near schools, daycare, sort of vulnerable areas. So that was really the big reason. And in Toronto, there's been some violence outside of some, or, you know, near some kind of these sites. So that has been a real worry for that the government here. We haven't seen such issues. It's not really near a school. We fought out for a very long time, like I said, to get this approval at 446 York Street. Between, you know, land planning tribunal appeals, and it was a whole thing. So I think that that's probably why it was not on the province's radar to close.
Okay. So in terms of the Heart Hub, just kind of looking forward to this, we're going to apply to have one. And then I guess we'll see what happens if we get that and where it will go.
We will. Okay. It does sound like, you know, basically what we know from the Heart Hub plan so far, which is not a heck of a lot.
Right.
It could be more than one location in the city. What we do know, though, is it's going to dovetail with the work we're already doing on housing and homelessness. So we've got the whole of community response, where we're trying to get people housed, and winter response and those kinds of things, all these pieces. And so this won't just come in and bigfoot all of that. It's going to really support and meld
integrate,
and mesh right in with it. And then this, because it's a heart hub, it'll have that funding stream too. So it's going to be kind of this, a lot of building on the work we're already doing.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll have more on that as we, you know, go through this application process and maybe get some answers surrounding the heart hubs. But thanks for joining us today, Jen. We'll check out your stories at lfpress.com.
Thanks so much for having me.